I am incredibly glad for my family. And I'm incredibly glad for families in general. Without family, life can be incredibly lonely. And that's true for many people, whether they have living family members nearby or not. We think about people whose family is far, far away, and you don't get to see them on a regular basis. We think about people whose family members have died and are no longer with them. We think about people who never knew their family. Some of you will identify with some of that. There are times when not having family is incredibly lonely. And as Elizabeth reminded us, we know as Christians that Jesus is always with us. And so then we tell each other, we don't need to be lonely, even when we are alone, because Jesus is with us. But sometimes we need something else too. And more than one family has had this happen. A child is sad and in tears. Something happened at school, or their parents are going out for the night and said, "But mommy, I am so lonely. Don't leave me alone. I am so lonely. I need you." And the mommy says to the little child, "Well, it's okay. Even when you are alone, you don't have to feel lonely, because if I'm not right here beside you, Jesus is still with you." And the child says to the mommy, "That's great, mommy, but what I really need is somebody who has arms and can give me a hug." It is good to know that Jesus is always with us, no matter what. But sometimes we need somebody with arms. We need people we can touch and see. And God loves us so much that he gives that to us. One of the beautiful promises in the Bible is actually just, it's a line in the Psalms as we go. In Psalm 68, it says that God sets the lonely in families. That we don't have to be just one solitary person, but God gives us families to surround us and love us. But here's the deal. Sometimes that can be cold comfort. If you have lost a spouse and find yourself alone in your house, it might not be quite so comforting to know that God sets the lonely in families. If you are a single adult with lots of friends, and yet there's no one in your family that is close by to share life together with, that can feel like cold comfort. And for our seniorest of seniors, and Sarah sees this on a regular basis, when you are shut in or in long-term care and none of your family visits, that can feel like cold comfort. And if all that we are given is a promise that God gives families to lonely people, and that Jesus is always with us even if we can never see him, it might not feel like good news to everybody. And so I'm incredibly glad that God's good news doesn't just stop there. God gives us even more good news. Because the family that God gives us is not just the people that are related to you by blood. And they are not just the people who may or may not live in your home. But that God gives us church families. Church families to love every single one of us. Whether we live on our own or in a great big bustling household. Whether we are in long-term care or in elementary school. that God gives us families to love. And the first family that we see here gathered today around us is our Bloomsburg Baptist family. See, God adopted us to be His children. And so we, every single one of us, become part of God's family. We are part of God's family, adopted as God's children through the Holy Spirit, joined together. But God didn't stop there. He said, you know, God's family is spread out all through space and time around the whole wide world. It might not feel so helpful to know that I am part of the same family as somebody who lives in Liberia. But I do know that I'm part of your family, because God has made each local church a family too. And we get to love each other and share together as brothers and sisters in Christ in this family together. And we will still feel lonely sometimes. We will still feel lonely sometimes. But the beauty of it is that we don't have to feel lonely quite so often or for quite so long, because we have a family to share together with, a family to care for one another and love each other, to share life together. The question is, to what extent are we being the kind of family to one another that God has created us and called us to be? When I think about church family in the Bible, one of the first pictures is the verses that Andrew read for us today from chapter 2 of Acts. It's a picture of the first family. See, Jesus had died and come back to life and gone into heaven. And the disciples had followed his instructions and waited. And then the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, and hundreds, thousands of people came to know Jesus over the course of a few hours, a few days, a few weeks. And as those people came to believe that Jesus was their Lord and Savior, they didn't become just one-of-a-kind Christians, all of them separate. God formed them together into a family. And suddenly, they belonged together. And they became a family that shared life together. They shared meals together. They shared their resources together. They shared their time together. We see that in Acts chapter 2 in these verses and through the rest of Acts. Now, they did not become a perfect family who never had arguments. All you have to do is to read Acts, the first chapters in Acts, and find stories about Ananias and Sapphira, or stories about the arguments between the widows. And you'll realize that all was not always perfect, rosy, and good. But in Acts chapter 2, we get a picture of the church being God's family, the way God created us and called us to be, because of the Holy Spirit who had tied them together. It's a picture of them at their very, very best. And at their very, very best, they shared life together. Now, I said, you know, being on your own, life without family can be incredibly lonely. If you've had to try to cook meals for one lately, after spending years cooking meals for many, you will find a perfect example of how frustrating life can be and how lonely. Because the meals that you've been cooking for decades don't work anymore. Or you have to freeze, you know, 3/4 or more of them in order not to have all that kind of food going bad in your fridge, right? It can be lonely. But families, at our best, families share meals together. When I was about 12 years old, there was a girl in our church who was going through a rough time. Now, she wasn't a bad kid. I know that because when she ran away from home, she came to her pastor's house. You gotta be a real rebel to run away to the parsonage. But Melanie came and she lived with us. I shared a bedroom with her for about a month, maybe two. I can't remember how long, but long enough to rearrange my bedroom so that there was room for Melanie in it. And I can remember meals with Melanie. Because Melanie would sit at the table with her mouth hanging open, watching and listening to my family as we had dinner together. See, the food would go all on the table, but even as people were eating, no one ever stopped talking. My dad and I sometimes paused for breath and to actually eat, but my brother and my mom have this incredible ability to eat while they are talking. They don't need to breathe. They just, you know, the conversation never stops. And Melanie would watch, like she was watching a ping pong game, as the conversation went back and forth and people were telling silly stories and quoting from movies randomly and telling jokes all the way through the meal. Because a meal isn't just about food. It's about sharing life together, sharing stories together, sharing conversation together, being family together. The first church knew a lot about that. Acts 2:42 says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And in 46 it says, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. And then they broke bread in their homes, and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Do you know what they did? They ate together. They ate together as a bigger group. They ate together in each other's homes. And as they did, it gave them joy and it tied them together because they were a family. Not just the kind of family related by blood that lives in one residence, but the kind of family that we've experienced here. We share meals together, whether it's a potluck in the other room or whether it's people gathering in each other's homes. And when we share food together or snacks downstairs with the kids or in the pews with the kids, when we share food together, we aren't just sharing food, we're sharing life together, and it ties us together as families. One of the special things about their meals together was their meals together weren't just eating. They were also worship. And probably what would happen was at the beginning of the meal, before the meal really started, they would break the bread together at the first part of what we do in our Lord's Supper communion service. And then after the meal, before they left, they would share the cup together, what we do in the second part of our communion service. And every meal they shared together would be an expression of the Lord's Supper and proclaiming the Lord's death until he comes again. Worship and community and food all tied together because they were family. They were God's family. When we share meals together, we don't just sit at the same table, but we're part of the same family, because of God's Holy Spirit who ties us together. Life without family can be lonely. It can be lonely when we are all by ourselves and it feels like there are not people to help. I think about folks like those who used to live in the Norfolkian. People who had no family or who had burned bridges with their family. People who had not enough money to find anywhere else to live or to get the food that they needed. People who had no resources and social supports to be able to get work and get help. How incredibly lonely. And what an incredible gift of God that there are people gathering together to become extended family for them. First to find them homes right now and the promise of a new kind of home in another year or so where they can have those kinds of helps. Because families share resources together. When there are needs, family steps up. I was probably in my early teens when it was Christmas Eve and I was at my grandmother's house. Everybody came to my grandmother's house. All of her kids and all of the cousins that lived in Hamilton would come to grandma's. So, when the phone rang late on Christmas Eve, And we were all kind of gathered together in the kitchen, celebrating, sharing food, sharing stories, sharing Christmas together. And Grandma took the phone call in the kitchen, and she suddenly got silent. And her face got white. And she turned to us all and she said, "Bonnie's house is burning down." Bonnie is her niece, lived out around the corner from the old farm. And on Christmas Eve, with presents under the tree, two teenagers, Bonnie and cousin Arva, all there at the house. There was a fire, and the people got out. But the house, the clothes, the presents, all of their stuff, lost, burnt to the ground. I will never forget that moment as we got that news as a family. But the story didn't stop there, because we at the house were praying. And Aunt Marjorie, Grandma's sister, Aunt Marjorie was acting. And before a week was out, Aunt Marjorie and Aunt Elma and the church family, Aunt Marjorie and Aunt Elma's church family at Caister Baptist, they had mobilized the neighborhood. They had mobilized the family. They had mobilized the church. And people had brought Christmas presents so that those teenagers would have a Christmas. And people had brought food, and people had brought clothing. So even in the midst of disaster, people were helping one another. And that family was going to be okay. Do you know what's even spectacular? A neighbor gave a house. And they were able to transport that house down the road and back to the property, and eventually it got set down right on the foundations of the house that burnt down. Because when you're part of a family, you're never alone. People share. People help. People act. I've seen that here with you guys too. When we need help with our eavesdrops, something's going wrong at our house, we can call Garnet. And Garnet or Dawn or somebody else, they will come and they will help with stuff at the parsonage. When a tree needed to get cut down, Dawn and Beth were there with chainsaws helping with trees. When a tornado went through, there was people that were helping one another in the aftermath. When there is food needed for a funeral, there are people making sandwiches. When there are disasters or itty-bitty problems, when there's a day when you don't have enough money, or a day when you simply have a neighbor who needs help. I have seen you, our church family, gather together, step up, reach out and help, because family shares. And you are so marvelously wonderful. You don't just share with the people that are in these pews. You share with the neighbors around you who become part of our extended family in a way too. And we start praying to them and we start giving to them. And we know that you do things like driving people to appointments when a neighbor needs a car and doesn't have a way there. And we've heard how you help people when a family needs support, when people need a place to stay, when somebody needs a job, when a basket of food is necessary. We have seen, because we're family. And that's what family does. Family helps. Family loves. Family serves. Family reaches out. I am so glad that you are a family who lives like that and is like that and shares life together with that. And I know that that happens in your hearts and in this family, not just because you're spectacular people, but because of the Holy Spirit of God who is working in you and through you, tying you together and changing our family and our community for the better. I am so incredibly thankful for that. Families share life. They share meals. They share time. The first family shared time together. When I think about family life being lonely, I think about people going and visiting seniors. because there's so many of our seniors who are alone. I think of some of your families and the way that you've helped. Jean, I think of your family all the time. When I think about families that share life together, the way that the Guthries and the extended Guthrie family help one another and make sure that Sharon gets out to stuff and Emily is a full part of things and grandchildren and great-grandchildren are loved and supported. What a beautiful picture of a family that lives like that. And I'm so incredibly proud to be part of this family that lives like that too. The early church showed it because they were together and they had everything in common. Every day they continued to meet together. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with sincere hearts. All the believers were one in heart and in mind, and no one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything that they had. They shared their things. They shared their time. They worshiped together. They spent time with the apostles, listening to the Bible together. They prayed together. And it says that they were one in one heart and one soul together. I see that when we just spend time being having fun together. Our church barbecues are a great example for that because it ties it all together, right? We're sharing food together and we're inviting others into our family to share food with us. We're sharing resources together. We bring it all together into a common table and all kinds of people pitch in and help and give to make it all possible. And then we just share time and life together and we tell stories and we listen to music and we play games and we have fun. And it is good to be part of the family of God, empowered by God's Holy Spirit. It's possible because we are adopted together. We have seen it. God does place the lonely in families. Families like this one here in Bloomsburg. And Jesus is present with us even when we can't see him. And he makes it possible to see his love through people like us loving one another. So that when you need it, you've got somebody with arms who can give you a hug. And we see people sharing a life together. You are a spirit-empowered, adopted family of God. I am so glad to be part of this family. I am so thankful to get to watch you be this family. And I am excited to see what this family looks like going forward as we continue to share life together. Let's pray. Lord God, you have brought us together through your Holy Spirit. You have adopted us into your family, and you have placed us into this Bloomsburg family. Please help us to live life together, to share our meals and our resources and our time, to celebrate and worship you together. Please help us to be your family here in Bloomsburg so that we can give you glory here and around the world. We pray this in your name. Amen. This is my prayer for you today. That when you are lonely, that you will know Jesus' love and Jesus' presence, and that you will experience it through this church family. And that when you see those who are lonely, that you would wrap your arms around them and invite them to share life together with us. We are God's people. Let's go into our world sharing the life that Jesus has given us. Amen, family. Yeah.